brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while I try to teach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. That's a pretty good little hymn right there. Will you sing it with me? Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power as I try to teach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. I thought that might be a little less familiar for some of you. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then He'll call us home to heaven. At His table we'll sit down. Christ Himself will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. It's one of the great hymns that's out there. But you know what? There's other things too. And I told you last week that we were going to begin to work on looking at some of the other things that we sing in our church. And so this morning I want to work a little bit with you to walk through some of the praise songs. I sent an email out and then followed it up with some invitations to folks who are populating our second hour. Most of them attend the gathering for their worship hour. And I invited them to send me names of some of their praise songs that have meant something to them and to give me an idea of where I could go to find lyrics and such. I've been putting these together over the last little while. I've probably got a couple of days worth. I don't know whether I'm going to alternate or go back and forth by doing several of these and then go back and do a couple more on hymns before we get through. But I have a few to share with you. I'm going to be putting onto the website where lessons are. I record lessons and we put those online if the recorder works anyway. I'm going to put copies of the lyrics along with a link that if you can follow that link out of the PDF, it should take you to where you can either hear the song sung or see it sung. Some of them have videos with them. Okay. Here's one that they sent to me. Lord, give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. Give me one pure and holy passion, one magnificent obsession, one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my God. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. I hadn't heard that one before, and I don't know the tune, so I can't sing it yet. But that's interesting. What does it mean to run hard after God?
Persevere.
Perseverance, it means.
Uh-huh.
What else?
Your running purpose. Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose to your running. There's a race to be run.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys been watching the Olympics? I have a position that I will take. There's something wrong with giving a gold medal to someone who slides down a hill and lands, and it all takes 20 seconds. While these poor guys on skis are climbing up hills on skis, 30 kilometers. And the difference between the gold medal and no medal was what? 3 seconds? 2 seconds? The difference between first and second place was a fraction of a second. You do all of that, and it's the distance from maybe me to Jan back there. That's the difference between first place and fourth place, medal and no medal. That was amazing yesterday. That poor guy is 25 seconds in front.
Yeah.
And then he's 20 seconds in front. And then he's 15 and 10 and 5 and 3. And in the last 100 yards, he gets passed and he gets third place, I think.
So
I think he ended up in third place. Two people passed him in the last 100 yards of 30 kilometers of exertion. You know what these guys do when they cross the finish line? They collapse because they can't breathe. Barbara said the women's group was a little bit more spread out, but the men's group they seemed to all be trained to about the same level. I think I saw it running, although in this case it was skiing hard after something. What kind of effort does God call for? There are hymns that I think address that. But here's a praise song that does. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared with knowing you, my Lord. Other comments?
Well, I think another reason that he runs hard after God is so he'll stay close to God.
That's a good insight, Billy.
Close to God so he can represent him to others.
It would also be something that you really want. You wouldn't run forward after something you don't really want.
What was the text the pastor used for his sermon this morning? Acts 1:8. What was the... That was one verse. What was the heart of that verse?
We have our own...
Wait till you get power and then go. Okay? How's that power going to come? What does it say? The Holy Spirit comes. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and then go. All right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, how do you draw on that power? This is an analogy I've used before. I'm going to keep using it until everybody in the room says, oh, we don't need this anymore. We all know it. Not everybody knows that. We are not batteries. We are extension cord. We are at the end of an extension cord. We do not get our power the way a battery gets its power. You get the power, then you go someplace else, and the power is within you, and there's no connection to anything else. That's a battery. Okay? We work when we're plugged in. That's what Jesus was talking about I'm the vine, you're the branches, stay attached, stay connected. Okay? And I think something of this is talking about that connection. Other comments? Did you like the words that the writer used or the singer used? A pure and holy passion, and a magnificent obsession, and a glorious ambition to follow my Lord. What's the difference between those words? Passion means what?
Desire.
A deep desire. Okay. Obsession means what? It takes first place. And ambition means what? I've got a glimpse of where it's going. I've got a glimpse of where it's all taking. Jerry?
Bill, we were talking last Sunday about hymns and what they meant to us. And when I got in my vehicle to go home, I had the PBS station on. And they were interviewing a Methodist minister who had been working in and out of Haiti for, he was 80-some years old, and apparently this had happened about 40 years ago. And he said he was down in Haiti, and he said he just got totally frustrated with the lack of progress that they were making on whatever that project was. And he said finally somebody stopped him and said, "Have you thought about the hymn, Lean on Jesus?" Now, I've never heard the hymn, Lean on Jesus, and I've looked around for it this week and I can't find it. But anyway, he said the group stopped right then and sang it. And he said all of a sudden everything picked up. Said the frustration was alleviated. They started working, and he said he's been back numerous times in this 40 years. He's 80 now. And he said that every time he meets with this frustration, he sings that hymn to himself, Lean on Jesus. And he said it's been marvelous through the years. They even have a school in Haiti named for him now. And I thought that was, you know, what it meant to him.
Other comments? Let me try a second one. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. And it has a chorus that goes like this. The chorus will be more familiar to you. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hands. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. What do you think of that one? What do we know of the potter? Do you remember where the story of the potter is found? It's in Jeremiah. God says to him one morning, go down to the potter's house and just stand there and watch a while. You remember what he saw? He saw the potter making something. And all of a sudden, the potter did something. You remember what the potter did? He decided it wasn't going the right way. And he reshaped it into something new. And God said to Jeremiah, can't I do that with my people? And from that comes this image. A long time ago, we started this lesson series with lists. There's a pretty powerful list in the middle of this one. Did you hear how it ended? Take me, mold me, use me, fill me, and then call me, guide me, lead me, and what? Walk beside me. If you don't get the last one, none of the rest is liable to work very well. Comments? Jan?
I think Jesus walks beside us all the time. It's just sometimes we're not aware of it. We don't recognize him. He's always there.
Others?
Seems like it's a total surrender. Everything put together. Taking, molding, making, using. Total, complete surrender of yourself to the Lord.
They talked about North Star a little bit this morning, the pastor did. How many of you know the basis of North Star's work? It's a Christian 12-step program. It's a Christian 12-step program. They're taking people who need the kinds of things that 12-step programs bring. Remember what the first couple of steps are?
No.
I'm not doing very well, and I need somebody else to take control. I think that's built into this too. Joe, are you willing to share with everybody what you talked to me about just before we started? About your children. About your children and hymns and praise songs.
I said this. I'm a classic person myself so far as music is concerned. And our children were raised that way, you know, in Bonaire Baptist Church and elsewhere. But then the praise choruses came in. And I'll have to say that all five of our children, they love that, and they prefer that. And they go to churches that have either a combination or that altogether. And what I told Bill was that when I go to Alexandria and see the church that our daughter and son-in-law, Becky and Rusty Corum, they planted that church from the beginning. It is a contemporary service. When I go there and worship with them with these praise choruses, they've got the band up there, you know. They've got the leaders, which is about a quartet, maybe, that sings in harmony. They each sing in a microphone, so it kind of sounds like a choir, really. But when I hear that and I see all those people, now they are having about 1,000 now in attendance. And they are there, and these people, for the most part, haven't moved a church letter from church A to church B. They have come from no church attending. A lot of them, maybe in their youth, were in a family that was nominally maybe in a church, but did not really, wasn't really meaningful. And so they have been attracted to that, and music is a big part of it.
And it seems to be reaching people in a way that we need to pay attention to. I see some hands. Let me say one thing first. Travis talked about four places to fish.
Yeah.
You haven't been there yet, so you don't know about this. Few of you haven't been to the service yet, right?
Yeah.
Where is that church fishing?
The choir.
Where's that church fishing? Did you hear her? Most of the people that came into that church did not come from another church by transfer of a letter. They've come out of the either de-churched or the unchurched. If you remember, Travis divided up the congregation this morning, and the choir and a few others ended up being the unchurched for illustration purposes. Now, I think I saw your hand and then yours.
Going back on what Joe said, I was raised in a Baptist church that it was all traditional. There was no bands, but I majored in music with Paul, your son Paul, and at the BSU, all we sang were, you know, praise songs.
Choruses.
And choruses and that sort of thing. So I have both perspectives. I like them both, but more traditional.
HT and then John.
When Carol and I go down to the beach and attend our son's church, it's kind of amazing down there. They started out, about 5-6 years ago, about 15. Now they fill a very large cafetorium in the school down there, and it's interesting. We probably raise the average age by about 4 years, and we just show up and all the others. But it's really great to see the mix that's down there. Being in Virginia Beach, you have so much military. You have guys coming in their flight suits. They've just flown a F-18, or they're going to fly later on. They're in their fatigues or so forth, and it's great to see that part of the community, to me, is going to the church, and it's really a vibrant church they have down there. John?
I was on the strategic planning team here at Bonaire that tried to set some directions for the church back in the late 90s, 98 and 99, and brought our recommendations to the church in 2000, which were approved. And one of the issues that we addressed was this issue of a contemporary or non-traditional service for people who might like that particular type of service. Now, I think this is where we really have to think wisely. I don't care personally for that type of music, but I embraced and was strong an advocate that we have this type of thing here at Bon Air because I thought it would be a vehicle for reaching people that we otherwise might not reach. And that's where we have to get beyond our own personal likes and dislikes and move to something that will touch people.
Yeah, and I usually have no need to do this, but I think I want to just adjust one word. Not so much that people like, but people respond to this music. The liking and not liking, I don't think was in those discussions, but the question of reaching. And Paul said at one point, I've become all things to all people, so that by all means I can, some of you know how to finish this, reach some. And I think that was in our mind.
Bill?
Yeah?
I've heard it said that besides human beings, the one thing that we all share in common is the universal language.
There is a singing that comes naturally to most of us.
Mm-hmm. When you think about the Psalms and in David's time, that's what they did. It was almost like praise songs over and over and over again. So really, it goes way back into that time. It's not something new for Christians.
Let me try one more. Title of this is Hungry. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. And I wait. I wait. I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait. I wait. I wait for you. There are times when each one of us have had something like that to say. We had needs that were so deep. The interesting thing to me is the contrast between what the songs and the praise songs are saying. So many of the praise songs seem to be speaking of the deep need people have for God. And I almost think it's part of the process, like the church that your daughter and son-in-law are doing. There are people who all they can see is their need and the fact that nothing they have ever found is addressing that need. And when they realize God is addressing that need and helping them, these words and these thoughts come out. What is a little harder to find in the praise songs is where you take that step beyond that, where not just your needs are being met, but that old promise of Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that all the world through you ends up blessed, to where that changes. Okay? Now, I have one that I printed out, and it was suggested by one of the nice folks that I invited to make suggestions that speaks to that. And if you were at 8 o'clock this morning, you sang it. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people, filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. Do you know this chorus? Many of you do. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? I said a little too low, didn't I? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we need to give our lives? Because people need the Lord. Of all the praise choruses I know, this is the one I think that is more universal than any of the others that I've seen. And it has that message that I think steps beyond so many of the praise choruses, to step from how wonderful it is that God is meeting my needs to where I begin to realize God's calling me to turn. The hymns are a little older. They've been around for a lot longer. It was a couple of hundred years ago when people were coming over from Europe trying to tell the Christians in America not to sing Isaac Watts hymns because they were from the devil. That's true. So hymns have had a little longer. The people writing those hymns have written a little further into their experiences. I think you're going to, if you watch praise choruses, my prediction is that by a decade or a decade and a half, you're going to see more of those that begin to talk about what happens when you begin to go beyond simply having your own needs met into meeting the needs of others. There's going to be more of these. But this one came early. Rita?
One of the ones that comes to my mind, but not totally, as the deer panted for water, that's a very...
And as I say, I honor that. Where? But that song speaks to God meeting my need.
Yeah. Okay.
And that step beyond that, praise choruses that are doing that are still, I think, not as common, not as numerous. But there are a few, and you'll see some of those.
Gil, the song that you read, one or two back.
One or two back.
I'm sorry.
It's not all the way back to Brethren. We have met to worship.
No. And it's one of the new ones that I don't remember, except that the Lord put on, made me think about how it's easy to say, I give everything to you. I want you to use me, take everything and do all this, and didn't mold me, whatever.
Yeah, that was the potter's hand was the one that begins to have a sense of that. I think you were talking about the word captured. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart.
But that one, and then the one that we just did, it's like, it's easy to sing. It's easy to think about that and want to be that person that goes out and reaches the people in the unreached places. But when you actually start doing that, it's like Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Well, the missionaries and the people that I've known that have gone to the unreached places, even here in Richmond, they've had to die to something in themselves to give that whole part of themselves to Jesus.
They have to take risks.
They have to take risks, and it's not just a happy song that you sing in a worship service.
Last week, I mentioned Olin and Lynn Burrow, whose picture remains on our wall over here. They have plans to come back to the United States sometime this year, and hopefully we'll have a chance to see them. I got an email from them this week, and I haven't sent that around. I need to do that. They're asking for prayer because they are traveling to another part of that region. They're traveling to Singala, I think. And there have been 4 reported carjackings on the road in front of their house, including 2 of their neighbors. And they're saying Kenya is getting dangerous again. And they're going out of the safer part of Kenya into the more dangerous part. And they said, we're not afraid, but we also know God wants us to always do things supported by prayer. So would you pray? There's risks when you take a step out from having your own needs met to begin to meet the needs of others. And the further you go from your comfort zone, the greater the risks are, John.
I think we have to recognize, too, there are different quality levels of praise courses. The ones that you spoke about this morning have a different ring to them than some of the praise courses that I've been subjected to in the past.
May I pause for just a moment? Thank you, Lord, that somebody is seeing what I'm doing. There are some good ones out there. There are some that bring me to tears. And I'm not sharing those today. The better ones are still coming. Yes?
I, too, was raised in a very traditional church, the Methodist Episcopal Church, really. And so, needless to say, the music was more than traditional. But I had this, I won't say dislike, but I'm going to even call it my little pompous attitude about these praise songs. About the praise songs. And I mean, I just couldn't see myself getting into the spirit or clapping my hands or not moving my head or my feet. It was like, you just don't do this in church. But
amen, sister.
But recently, as my sisters and brothers joined churches other than the one in which we grew up, the music there is similar to what some of you have expressed. And with the passing of my brother at his visitation service, at the very end, we had one sister who was a music major in college to sing a song, and she sang a praise song. It was called He's an On-Time God. Mm-hmm. And it was really more than fitting. I don't know all the words, but the chorus, He's an On-Time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you call Him, but He'll be there right on time. Mm-hmm. He's an On-Time God. Yes, He is. And it's really beautiful because it gets all into the children of Israel and what He did for them, and mm-hmm. and Job and what He did for him and so forth, and comes back to the chorus. And Travis was there on the evening of the visitation, and that song, he said, he loved. In fact, he approached my sister and said, I'm going to talk with Paul about you. I want you to sing that song. And while I'm there, he said, you wake the people up.
Well, what do I think?
And it was really very meaningful because in spite of all that we were dealing with the loss of a brother, especially a young person, it really did mean a lot. I mean, we hated to see him go, but with his suffering and so forth, he's an on-time God.
I think also, as the contemporary services continue to expand and grow and more praise, you get more songs written. I remember talking about Sons Church. It seemed like you had 3 songs that you just sang over and over and over and over, and the choruses just repeated over and over. And now there's quite a variety out there that I think it's just attracted more songwriters to write the praise songs.
Helen?
The church that I attended before I came down here was in Centerville, Virginia, a Baptist church, and it was about 3,000 members, large church, and that had grown really, really fast. And they used a combination of praise songs and traditional hymns. But they ended up with a praise song. And every Sunday after every service, when the pastor would say the closing prayer, And the people, he would have the, before he said the prayer, he'd have the people to all join hands. And around the, you know, that huge, huge auditorium, everybody, you know, was joining hands. And then they sang this praise song. He is Lord, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they sang that three times, and then it was dismissed. And people just continued to sing that praise song as they went out of the church. You know? And it just meant so much to them.
That one's printed in my notebook over there and saved for another week. Yeah, that's one that has come up again from those for whom the praise choruses are so meaningful. Ralph, I think?
Yeah, just to kind of think outside the box a little bit from our church, realize what we have here. I saw a church die a couple of years ago down in North Carolina. At one time it had been a couple thousand members and was down to maybe a couple hundred. And I was with the developer, and we were inviting the church to do a shopping center around it at the time, offered enough money to build a brand new church in the last area. They didn't want to do it, and I talked to them about the growth playing the multi-site. The minister had already left, and the minister of music had already left, and this was the chairman of the deacons. And I said, well, do you try anything to attract the youth? I said, you can meet the youth. Traditional service, we love to sing one praise song and one traditional song. And I said, does it work? And he said, to make a long story short, the church, the timing of change, we didn't have a problem.
Billy?
I don't get in trouble with family, you know, saying this. But I'm speaking from my heart. Back in the day, as you now say, when I went to church, I've been a Southern Baptist, kind of a new book. But we also went to other churches that had revivals in the summertime. Like with my aunts and uncles, went to our church, had a revival I go to. It would be independent Baptist, it might be a Baptist church. But you can have traditional music and still have the spirit move if you sing a more uplifting song. I'm not putting down Paul at all, but
hi, Paul.
But sometimes, you know, you can feel the spirit. I have been to these churches, you can feel the spirit of the Lord moving just by singing a traditional song. It's not an old song. Now, I know every song we sing is glorifying God or praising God, but some of them, or to me, it's like, don't dare get to out that note because you might feel the spirit moving. So we want you to do it. And I feel like, you know, we don't have to have praise songs, and we just sing every now and then, sing a song that's more uplifting. Even Amazing Grace, to me, is a wonderful song. If you can't feel the spirit moving singing that, there's something wrong.
If I thought the spirit wasn't moving in the 8 o'clock service, I'd find something else to do. But I do understand it moves more in some Sunday mornings than it does in others. And it moves more sometimes.
Chris, see, to me, Bill, part of the key to this is to do what Bonair has done, is to have the two traditional worship services but have a separate non-traditional service. I like that concept.
Yeah. I think the other thing some churches are experimenting with is a blended service, and I have no idea what the right thing is to do. We're trying our experiment, and I think it's proving itself. There's a guy named Chris Tomlin. If you start looking at praise songs, he seems to show up. What was the message, the verse that the pastor used in the 8 o'clock service was Acts 1:8. What was the message? What was the focus of the morning? Two M's.
Mission
mindset, right? Listen to this one. You are God of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. For there is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. and greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to done to come, and greater things are still to be done here. Do you like that as much as I do? You're the Lord of creation. You're the creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength in our weakness. You're the love to the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. For there's no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. When glory shines from hearts alive with praise for you and love for you in this city. I hear a call to missions mindset in that song. Do you? We got just a couple of minutes. Any comments on that one before I go on, George?
Just one comment about tradition. Jesus was against tradition. That means repetition of the same thing over and over up to the point when the meaning is lost. The salt loses the power.
Mm-hmm. When the salt has lost its savor, what's it good for?
Right. What moved me in terms of our hymnals, based on the Einstein, the best design is the simplest one that works. Simple lyrics, simple music. What I heard in country churches, where people, humble people, were going there and you could see the humbleness in everything they were doing, and they were not very schooled, but they knew all the meanings of the little things of life that they had inherited and practiced over and over again. When it comes to spontaneous and new kind of music, that takes me back to David, that he was
criticized for dancing,
for his spontaneous dance of joy in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. It was transported to the temple. The other thing is words, probably out of a poor means of communication, and I put side by side two verses. One where these people worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are far away from me. And the other one is, but we do not know even how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Mm. With
words that cannot be spoken.
That cannot be spoken. So I think that the song, basically, and the praise, it's in the heart, and that's where the Lord looks to.
Thank you. We're going to use this one as a closing, as a benediction. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I have found in you. Lord, I have come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I'll soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I'll soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. You'll have a good day.